This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
And so this is the area that they settled. And Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, then, of course, he didn't have any sons, any children for the longest time, over 80 years. 80 years, he was over 80 years of age already, until finally Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him Ismail through Hajar. And Hajar, of course, was from Egypt. And of course, I don't know, the incident in which Hajar was Sara, Prophet Ibrahim's wife, went to Egypt and went with her husband, Prophet Ibrahim. And it was there that the king tried to harm her, and when he wasn't able to harm her, when he found out, he realized that she was protected, he tried to stay on her good side, so he gave her a gift. And what was that gift? That gift was Hajar. Everybody has a Prius. Black Prius. Half the people coming out of Prius. Okay, black. And 1/4 are black. Anyways, where were we? Got distracted. Oh yes, Hajar was gifted. Of course, Hajar was a gift to Sarah. And then Sarah, realizing that, you know, that her husband, you know, didn't have any children, maybe in hopes that maybe he can have a progeny afterwards. So she you know, asked Prophet Ibrahim to marry Hajar. And then when Hajar gave birth to Ismail, and that's when, you know, there's some narrations about some contention between her and Sarah. And eventually, well, of course, by the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Hajar ended up taking Ismail to Mecca, present day Mecca. And of course, from there came the progeny later of the Arabs, and eventually the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was from the descendants of Prophet Ismail, from the descendants of Prophet Ibrahim, Prophet Ismail, and then came the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Meanwhile, Sarah was also given glad tidings that she was going to have a son. And that son ended up being, who was it? Ishaq. Prophet Ishaq. Prophet Ishaq. So Ishaq was the son of Prophet Ibrahim. And from Ishaq came Yaqub, Prophet Yaqub. And Prophet Yaqub, he had how many sons? 12 sons. He had 12 sons. And in Surah Yusuf, we get the story of Prophet Yusuf and how Bani Israel ended up in, this is the beginning of Bani Israel. So Yusuf, the story of Yusuf is the story of how the children of Yaqub and the family of Yaqub ended up in Egypt. And so when, you know, everything that happened in the story at the end, it was Yusuf alayhi salam who became the most trusted advisor to the king. And he was, of course, he was also a prophet and messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like his father was a prophet, his grandfather was a prophet, and his great-grandfather was a prophet. So through that progeny, that's of course, there's no lineage that's so noble as the lineage of Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam. Prophet Yusuf, and also the children of Prophet Yaqub. And of course, the children of Prophet Yusuf, they are considered one of the most noble because of the line lineage of prophethood and messengership. And from them also came many other prophets, the prophets of Bani Israel. And so they ended up in Egypt. Now, when they ended up in Egypt, they ended up not just being just regular people in Egypt. They came, the whole family that came are the children of Prophet, children and grandchildren, the progeny of Prophet Yaqub. When they came, they were over 70. And from the children of Prophet Yaqub, they increased in number in Egypt. And they had a time, of course, during the time of Prophet Yusuf, there was great prosperity. Eventually, Prophet Yaqub passes away. Prophet Yaqub, according to their books, passed away in Egypt, and he was buried in Philistine. And Allah knows best whether it's true or not. Allah knows best. And the same with Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam. So when Prophet Yusuf passed away, there was no prophet or messenger for Bani Israel for a while. And during the time of Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam was in Egypt during a time in which the Egyptians were not in control. They did not have the authority. The people who were actually in Egypt were the Hyksos, an Asiatic people that came and conquered Lower Egypt. And so they were in control. And so that's why when you read Surah Yusuf, every single time the king is mentioned, وَقَالَ الْمَلِكُ أُتُونِي بِهِ, and the king said, bring him to me. وَقَالَ الْمَلِكُ إِنِّي أَرَى سَبْعَ بَقَرَاتٍ سِمَانٍ, and the king said, I saw seven fat cows. And so anytime the leader of Egypt is mentioned in the story of Prophet Yusuf, in Surah Yusuf, the word king is mentioned. And not the Pharaoh, the word Pharaoh is not mentioned. But during the time of Prophet Musa, alayhi salam, who is the leader of Egypt? It was Pharaoh, وَقَالَ فِرْعَوْنُ. Fir'aun, Fir'aun, Fir'aun is used. Why? Because by that time, the Hyksos were defeated. The Hyksos were defeated. And so the Egyptians, they were now in full control. They took their land back. And of course, who was in power also? It was the project that Bani Israel, they had very, very strong role. In other words, because of Prophet Yusuf and what he did for Egypt and how respected he was, the Bani Israel was very, very, they were very respected, but now they were part of the other ruling group. Now those guys were all, the Hyksos were defeated also. And so now the Egyptians came back and Bani Israel became second-class citizens. They became second-class citizens, where the Egyptians enslaved them. They forced them to do hard labor, whatever it is that, you know, second-class citizens are treated the way that they were treated. Why? Because they considered them like foreigners. And they were. They didn't come from, they're not originally from there. Their origin, even though Bani Israel, the majority of them now, of course, after many generations, these were people who were born in Egypt itself. Right, they were born in Egypt, but they were also very, very proud. They were very proud people. Why? Because of their lineage. Every single time you mention, hey, who's your grandfather, great-grandfather? If you have Yusuf, and then Yaqub, and then Ishaq, and then Ibrahim, like what kind of lineage is that? That's very respected lineage. And so they were also a very, very proud people, proud of their lineage. They're proud of their lineage, of who they were, right? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also teaches us, like, it's not what your forefathers did. If your actions do not follow, it's not going to help you any. So that arrogance because of race and pride was there amongst the Egyptians or amongst the Bani Israel. And imagine you're in Egypt, if you're like, you're always thinking you're better than everybody else. Like, nobody likes that. Nobody likes the arrogance of anyone. You know, if you're arrogant, thinking you're better than everyone else. And of course, they were oppressed. They were people who were greatly oppressed. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent them after Allah knows how long. Who did Allah send them? Prophet Musa alayhi salam. When Prophet Musa alayhi salam, who was already in charge? Fir'aun. And he was already killing the children, killing the women, and killing, and you know, like he was already murdering and oppressing. So Bani Israel lived under great oppression. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Prophet Musa to Fir'aun to call him to La ilaha illallah. He rejected it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered. Why? Because you're living in a country, in an area that even if they were to stay, what would happen? They were a minority, they were oppressed, and they would continue, they've continued, and they, I mean, imagine, I want you to imagine, a baby is born, and the army comes and kills your baby in front of your own eyes, and you can't do anything about it. Because every other year, they were killing all the sons. Like that's, you can't live in that type of environment. So that's what was happening to Bani Israel. And you have to remember right now, Bani Israel are the people who worship Allah. They are the Muslims. And Prophet Yaqub, Prophet Yusuf, and their progeny, they were people who worship Allah. The Egyptians were not worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were not upon Tawheed. The Egyptians were not upon Tawheed. Some scholars mention that Hyksos, their leader and so forth, accepted Islam. But even now, they're not there anymore also. They've been fully defeated. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Prophet Musa to cross what? Cross the sea. Bring Bani Israel, save them from the oppression and everything. Right now, Fir'aun has reached a level of aggression, of tyranny, that very few have witnessed in the history of humanity. Take them out, save them, save Bani Israel from Fir'aun. And Prophet Musa alayhi salam took them, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened the Red Sea, and he crossed the Red Sea with Bani Israel. And on that day, what's that day called? The day of Ashura. The day of Ashura, it was a day that the Yahud in Medina used to walk fast. And then the Prophet ﷺ saw them doing so, and he said, we have more right upon Musa than you. And you fast because of the, you're thankful for it? Yeah, we have more right because we're the ones who are truly following the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, la ilaha illallah. And so we have more right. So Musa is our prophet, a Muslim. Prophet Ibrahim was a Muslim. And all of them, all the prophets and messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were those who surrendered to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when Bani Israel came across the sea, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered them to enter the Holy Land. Go where? Remember, Bani Israel, they came from the Badia of the Badia means the desert area of at that time they were shepherds and so forth of Philistine. And now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, okay, you guys are free, you've left Egypt. Right now they've left Egypt. Now go back. You can go back. Hey, but there are people there. They're living there now. What do? So you fight them and Allah will give you victory. But then you know what they said to Musa? Idhab anta وَرَبُّكَ فَقَاتِلَ إِنَّهَا هُنَا قَعِدُونَ. Then go, you get victory. But what did they say? Go, you and your Lord go. You and your Lord. Ya Allah, look at the arrogance. And look at the arrogance and ignorance. You and your Lord. How do you speak to a prophet, a messenger of God like this? Then you go. I will sit here. You guys, after you defeat them, they will enter. Cowards. And so they didn't go. And what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do? He punished a whole generation, all of them. They did not have a place. Okay, you don't want to go? We want to give it to you. Yeah, you don't want to go? Fine. Like we promise. This is what you do. You go and then Allah will give it to you. They didn't go. So what did they end up doing? Ati, which is that they end up roaming the desert. without a place for 40 years. For 40 years, and everybody who left Egypt, with the exception, some of the, you know, some of the scriptures and books mentioned, and some of the our scholars of the Tafsir also have mentioned, to everyone in that generation passed away. Everyone in that generation passed away, a new generation came. And that's a different generation led by Yusha ibn Nun, Joshua. Yusha ibn Nun. He was the man, he was the boy that was with Prophet Musa in the story of in Surat Al-Kahf. Right? In Surat Al-Kahf, he was the one that accompanied Prophet Musa. When they all passed away, he led Bani Israel back to the Holy Land. But while they were fighting, he was about to gain victory. He was this close to victory. But then the sun was about to set. The sun, so it was Friday. And on Saturday, what's the rule on Saturday? And you're not allowed to fight. That's like a day of worship. You know, there's no work, right, for them. Sabt. That's the day. So when the sun, and when does the day start? Sunset. So the sun is about to set. We're almost victorious. If the sun sets, we stop fighting. They regain. They're able to, you know, regroup, right? They're able to regroup. So, Prophet, so, you know, Yusha ibn Nun, as the Messenger of Allah mentioned, he said a prophet from Bani Israel, did mention specifically in some of the narrations. He asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hold back the sun. Don't let it set yet. It's the only time, subhanAllah, the sun is about to set, and he says, Ya Allah, hold back the sun, so that we can defeat these people, and after that, you know, we'll be victorious already. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala held back the sun. He held back the sun. In the history of humanity, sun is not held back for anyone. But this time, he needed the sun to be held back. Don't set yet. We need a little bit more time. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it to him. SubhanAllah. You supplicate to Allah, Allah can make the sun and hold the sun back. You supplicate to Allah sincerely. You ask Allah and you work for the sake of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can hold back anything. The sun. Every single day sets and Allah holds it back. Who can do that? No one except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then they were able to become victorious, and they entered Philistine, Ard Muqaddas, the Holy Land, in Jerusalem. And of course you have, for them, ever since they were in Egypt, they have their tribes, because they're the children of Prophet Ya'qub, and he has how many? 12. And those are the 12 tribes of Bani Israel. And they ended up, Each tribe having certain portions of different areas of this. So, you know, like, for example, okay, your family's here. This is your area. Your family's over here. They're the north. Your family's to the south. And so they were divided. But they were all under. They were divided in terms of their tribes, but united under the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, and the prophets and messengers of Allah that Allah sent. And then, of course, then came a time in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them prosperity. Allah sent them prophets and messengers, and amongst the prophets and messengers that He sent, that united them all and made them rulers of the world, was Prophet Dawood alayhi salam. Prophet Dawood and Prophet Sulaiman. And so how were they able to conquer the world? Prophet Dawood and Prophet Sulaiman inherited the kingdom from Prophet Dawood, and the children and Banu Israel, كانت Banu Israel تسوسهم أنبياؤهم. Banu Israel, they always had their prophets and messengers to lead them. In other words, what is that? The susuhum is in Arabic you have the word siyasa. Where siyasa comes from, that siyasa is politics, right? In other words, the people who conquered, who ruled, and who had the authority, they were the prophets and messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So every single time, you know, like in our ummah, who do we have? We have the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then afterwards, everyone who comes afterwards is a khalifa. Right? Is a khalifa. It's not a prophet and messenger of God that is leading us. Right? Until, of course, later on there will be, when Prophet Isa comes back, then he will lead this ummah. But we don't have prophets and messengers of Allah leading us. But Bani Israel, they had prophets and messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leading them. So during the time of Prophet Dawood and Prophet Sulaiman, they ruled the world. How were they able to rule the world? Prophet Sulaiman was given an army of man and jinn. Of man and jinn. And he was, you know, you speak about superheroes. He was able to fly. The winds would take him. Like you see Superman flying in the air, Ya Allah, Prophet Sulaiman is in the air without an airplane. Without an airplane, he could go anywhere. He could go anywhere. You want something? You want the whole palace? The palace of Bilqis. In one blink of an eye. One blink of an eye, the whole palace comes. How are you gonna defeat such a powerful king? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Sulaiman, and no one else had that type of power and authority. No one else had that type of power and authority. And of course, where was Prophet Sulaiman? Bayt al-Maqdis, Al-Quds. That's Al-Masjid al-Aqsa. That particular area, that was Al-Masjid al-Aqsa, was built 40 years after the building of the Kaaba. By whom? Since the time of who? Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. Since the very beginning, was the Holy Land. That's when they left Egypt, they came back. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them strength and power. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this was the time in which, you know, the glory days, the glory period, the peak in terms of this power and might of Banu Israel. And then when Prophet Sulaiman passed away, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continued to send them prophets and messengers of Allah. But every single time, what did they do to the prophets and messengers of Allah? They used to kill them. They used to kill them. But they were extremely divided also. They were themselves extremely divided. And because of their actions, and their characteristics, because of what they did, the sins that they committed, the sins of Bani Israel, the oppression, the killing of each other, even amongst themselves, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because their division amongst themselves, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a punishment upon them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a punishment upon them. And that not only were they divided and destroyed after that, because of what they did, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed their nation. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you read Surah Isra, what's the other name of Surah Isra? Isra has two names. Surah Bani Israel, very good. The Surah, the chapter of Bani Israel. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي أَسْرَى بِعَبْدِهِ لَيْلًا مِنَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ الْأَقْصَى الَّذِي بَارَكْنَا حَوْلَهُ لِنُورِيَهُ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا إِنَّهُ هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي أَسْرَى بِعَبْدِهِ. Huh? Oh, no, it's this, actually. I think it's, people are saying it's squeaky, but it's this thing. Let me put this up here. سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله Glory be to He who took His servant by night. Took who by night? Took the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in Mecca, min al Masjid al Haram, from al Masjid al Haram. And what is al Masjid al Haram? Al Masjid al Haram is actually Mecca. It's actually Mecca, not just Masjid al-Kaaba, it's Masjid al-Haram, all of Mecca. So he took him from al-Masjid al-Haram ila al-Masjid al-Aqsa until to al-Masjid al-Aqsa alladhi barakna hawla. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we're blessed all around it. Right? The Masjid is blessed and everything around it is blessed. So the whole area, Masjid al-Aqsa, including the Dome of the Rock, all of that is a part. All of that is one together in terms of what we as Muslims consider the holy site, holy sanctuary, all of that includes. Some people, they divide Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa and this is Al-Bayt Al-Maqdis. No, all of it. So. The whole area. And it's next to each other. It's close to each other. It's like all of it, the whole area. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَّذِي بَارَكْنَا حَوْلَهَ لِنُورِيَهُ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا, so that we can show them His signs. So we can show him His signs. إِنَّهُ هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. And when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, he led all of the prophets in prayer. To indicate what? To indicate this is the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, we're not talking about this race and that race. It's not about Palestinian and Saudis and Kuwaitis and Syrians and Lebanese and so forth. It's about Islam. It's about Islam. Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. And we defend Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa because of La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. It's not about the race or anything like that. And so our brothers and sisters, they're Muslims who are there, who are being oppressed. It is an issue of all Muslims. It's not an issue of this country and that country. They try to separate you. Oh, those are Palestinians, those are Syrians. No, no. It's about the La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. It doesn't matter. You can be from, Bani Israel. If you say La ilaha illallah, you're our brother. This deen, this is the deen of Allah and all the messengers called to La ilaha illallah. From Adam to Nuh, to Sulaiman, to Dawood, Sulaiman, all of them, and all the prophets of Bani Israel are brethren, when they uphold the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, calling to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And so they started after the fall of, or after Prophet Sulaiman, there was great mischief and great, they were very, very arrogant. Everyone is killing each other, causing problems. And when they killed the prophets and messengers of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished them because of their fasad, the oppression, the wrongdoing, the aggression, the transgression towards those, the greatest people. These are prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even towards themselves, they're killing each other. Killing each other. And as a result of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent His servants, others, to crush them. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Isra, after mentioning this, Allah says, وَآتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابِ. And remember Bani Israel, وَآتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابِ. We gave Musa the book, the Torah, the Tawrat. وَجَعَلْنَاهُ هُدًى لِبَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ. And we made him a source of guidance for Bani Israel. أَلَّا تَتَّخِذُوا مِن دُونِي وَكِيلًا. That you should not take anyone, you should not take anything other than me as the disposer of your affairs. As a wakil, a protector. That means everything that you do, you depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you put your trust in Allah and you worship Allah alone, and everything that you do is because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the message, to call Allah alone, to put your trust in Allah alone, to, you know, to the one who disposes of all our affairs, everything. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We attribute all our successes and our victories are from where? All our victories are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, the victory of Allah is near, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who gives victory. And the only way that you'll get victory, in tansurullah yansurkum wa yuthabbit aqdamakum. If you start contributing and being at the service of Islam and the Muslims, like those who worship Allah, you strive, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you. When you work for this deen, that's when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps you. That's when you apply the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the deen of Allah, that's when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps you. And then Allah says, ذُرِّيَّةَ مَنْ حَمَلْنَا مَعَنُوحِ. You are none other than, everyone is what? Everyone is a progeny of those who we carried upon the ark with Nuh. So everyone on the face of this earth can claim two things in terms of their progeny. You can claim what? I mean, you're all one. We're all one. We all came from Adam, and what's another prophet? Nuh. Because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed the generation that worshipped idols, the generation after, during the time of Prophet Nuh, nobody was left on the face of this earth. And everyone on this earth came from Nuh and the children of Prophet Nuh. And of course, they settled in different parts, in different areas of the world, but everyone is from Prophet Adam and Prophet Nuh. So you are all one in terms of your origin. We're all from Prophet Adam and Prophet Nuh. إِنَّهُ كَانَ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. And surely he was very... Nuh was a thankful servant of Allah. Why did Allah mention this? Because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you guidance, you should learn to be thankful. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala atayna Musa, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Musa, these are the people who, you know, the prophets and messengers of Allah taught all their people to be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised the status of Bani Israel. Ya Bani Israel, O children of Israel. Remember, وَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةِ الَّتِي أَنْعَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ. Remember the blessings that I bestowed upon you. وَأَنِّي فَضَّلْتُكُمْ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ. And I preferred you over all of the worlds, everyone else. Why Allah sent so many prophets and messengers to them. They should be thankful to Allah. They should be following the orders of Allah. They should be the leaders. They should set examples for other people, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them guidance through Prophet Musa, through Harun, through all the prophets of Bani Israel, one after the other, one after the other. Allah preferred them. So are they still the preferred, the chosen people, as they say? No. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the final prophet came from the Arabs, that's when that arrogance again showed up. And to this day, the Yahud are still jealous because they wanted to continue that progeny. But Allah gives guidance to whomsoever He wills. He gives prophethood and messengership to whomsoever He wills. And it was a test for them during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they failed it. And it's a test for those who will come afterwards also, because Islam is the truth. And you will see it, and if you want to follow it and you're sincere, Allah will guide you to it, and that's the greatest blessing. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about Bani Israel, and He says, وَقَضَيْنَا إِلَى بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ فِي الْكِتَابِ. And we, وَقَضَيْنَا إِلَى بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ. وَقَضَى means to decree, right? It means to decree, and it also means to order, but here it means to decree. Decree where? وَقَضَيْنَا إِلَى بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ fil kitab, and we have decreed in their books, in the book. Which book is it? Some scholars have mentioned it is in their own books, the Torah, that Allah tells them, this is what we've decreed for you. This is what we've given you. This is what's going to happen. And some scholars have mentioned, no, this is وَقَضَيْنَا إِلَى بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ فِي الْكِتَابِ إِنْ لَوْهِ الْمَحْفُوظِ. That means this is a decree from Allah, that this is what's going to happen. لَتُفْسِدُنَّ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَّتَيْنِ لَتُفْسِدُنَّ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَّتَيْنِ وَلَتَعْلُنَّ عُلُوًا كَبِيرًا. There will be two time periods that you will cause great mischief, great oppression, mischief, problems, that you will be the source of transgression and oppression. And not only that, uluwan kabira, accompanied by extreme haughtiness and arrogance. Extreme haughtiness and arrogance. And if you look at the Yahud right now, when they enter Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, while the Muslims are praying Taraweeh prayer, when do they always go in? What month? Ramadan. Every Ramadan, you hear, right? Every Ramadan, the most holy time, the holiest time, in the holiest hours, the nights. And when, what, can you guess, the beginning of Ramadan? The end of Ramadan, right? The holiest time, every year. Do you know why? To break the will of the Muslims, to say we can do it even in the holiest time and you guys can't do anything about it. You can't do anything about it. We can bomb hospitals. We will give warning to those hospitals first to tell people to get out. And then when bad PR is spread, we say, we didn't do it. We didn't do it. Yeah, we can do that. We can do that. And you can't do anything about it. All the Muslim world, all you can do is just watch. We'll starve the people. No water, la ilaha illallah. No water, no food, no electricity. You know, I had plumbing problems just like yesterday, the day before. And my kids were going crazy. We had to go to their mother's house. We can't even live without that. We have water, but we can't flush our toilets. Like, you can't live. Like, imagine millions of people. Everybody has to eat and drink and use the bathroom. There's no water. Now look at the hardship. Yeah, we can do it. We can send missiles. We can send bombs. And you can't do anything about it. The arrogance. And Allah says, لَتُفْسِدُنَّ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَّتَيْنِ وَلَتَعْلُنَّ عُلُوًّا كَبِيرًا. So when they did that, look at the arrogance. They are so arrogant, they will kill prophets and messengers of Allah. How can you be so arrogant? Knowing that this person is one who is a prophet and messenger of God, and you try to kill them. In fact, you kill them also. Criminals. They will commit the greatest crime humanity will ever know. And they will say to you, yeah, we did it. You want to do something about it? What's the greatest crime that a person can commit? Kill the prophet and messenger of God. The worst of people, the Prophet ﷺ said, is one who is killed by kills a prophet or is killed by a prophet. You're the worst. If you're killed by a prophet, if you are you kill a prophet or you kill by a prophet, those are the worst people. The worst people. Extreme arrogance. And Allah says, you, it's been decreed that this will happen twice. But then Allah says, فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعْدُ أُولَاهُمَا. Now this is, so when this happens, the first, I mean twice, it's going to happen twice. When the first of the two happens,
right,
you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when the first of the two happens, بَعَثْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ عِبَادًا لَنَا, we will send against you servants of ours. عِبَادًا لَنَا is any servant. It's not like tashrif here, no, عِبَادُ اللَّهِ, عَبْدُ اللَّهِ, no, just servants. Servants of ours. Then when you say Abdullah, that's something else. You say Ibad, servants of ours, because everyone's a servant. Everyone is under the control, under the authority, under the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah controls all things. He's all able and all capable. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعْدُ أُولَاهُمَا بَعَثْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ عِبَادًا أُولِي بَأْسٍ شَدِيدٍ. They will be strong, extremely powerful. I mean, people who will be extremely powerful, people of great military might. أُولِي بَأْسٍ شَدِيدٍ فَجَاسُوا خِلَالَ الدِّيَارِ. They will wipe you out, including ransacking your own houses, into your houses. Forget about outside the streets. Your houses will be tread upon. And that's what happened to them. Allah says, وَكَانَ وَعْدًا مَفْعُولًا. Indeed, this is a promise that will be fulfilled. This is a promise that's fulfilled. وَكَانَ وَعْدًا مَفْعُولًا. Indeed, it's gonna happen. So, when did it happen? It did happen also. When they broke up and they caused problems, who did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send? Allah sent different groups of people that came and crushed and divided them. And amongst them was Bakht Nasr, Nebuchadnezzar. Who was Nebuchadnezzar? He was a Babylonian ruler. He came and he killed tens of thousands of them, men, women, and children, into their houses. And those who remained, what did he do with them? Did he leave them there? They were enslaved when? They were enslaved in Egypt, and they would be enslaved again. They were during the time of Prophet Sulaiman and Dawood and Sulaiman, they were up here. All of a sudden, they're down here. They're being dragged and pulled and taken to where? Anybody know where? What town? What city? Where did Nebuchadnezzar come from?
Babylon.
Babylon. They were taken to Babylon and enslaved, made second-class citizens, forced to do hard labor and everything for nothing. Enslaved. They were enslaved. Their women and children were killed. When was the last time that happened also? In Egypt. And now again, in Babylon. They're taken away from the Holy Land again. And so, why? Because they went against the orders of Allah, refused to follow the commandments of Allah. And anytime Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, anytime they refuse to fulfill the commandments of Allah, Allah punishes them. But when they uphold the commands of Allah, Allah raises their status. When they follow their prophets and messengers, Allah raises their status. When they disobey them, try to kill them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroys them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroys them. So this is a cycle, it repeats itself. When do you, and this is a lesson for us, when will you gain authority and majd and strength and power and honor? It's in the obedience of Allah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you success. When in the disobedience of Allah, Allah destroys you. Even in our personal affairs. If you're obedient to Allah, Allah gives you success in this life and the hereafter. When you are at war with Allah, when you deal with riba, when you take that which is haram, and you feed your family from that which is haram, Allah will destroy you and destroy your family. You want to come back? You want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you again? Come back to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Come back to the rule of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Return to Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again will give you success. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعْدُ أُولَهُمَا بَعَثْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ عِبَادًا أُولِي بَأْسٍ شَدِيدٍ فَجَاسُوا خِلَالَ الدِّيَارِ وَكَانَ وَعْدًا مَفْعُولًا. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about, in this verse here, some scholars have mentioned, it's a continuation to Bani Israel. And others have mentioned, no, this is Allah is speaking about the Muslims, speaking to the Muslims. And of course, these verses are revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it's the muhatab here, of course, the majority of it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, speaking to this ummah and teaching us lessons of the people before. So how did they escape from Babylon, by the way? How did they come? They ended up in Babylon. Did they just stay there? No. Who came and rescued them and saved them? That was a long time ago. Who came? Okay, which prophet? Which messenger? Somebody came? Cyrus the Great. Cyrus the Great defeated Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian Empire. Cyrus the Great. And who was Cyrus the Great? If you look at it, if you look through the historical point, Allah knows best. No, Allah knows best. The stronger opinion here seems to be that Cyrus the Great was Dhul-Qarnayn. Dhul-Qarnayn. After conquering the West and then the East, then he went north. There was only one other direction that Allah did not mention. It was south. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, actually in their books, the Torah, one of the names that's given to Cyrus the Great was the Messiah. Because he, after building the wall to keep away Ya'juj and Ma'juj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Cyrus the Great. And Allah knows best, if he is Dhul-Qarnayn, then he came and he brought them back to where? He brought them back to Jerusalem, to the Holy Land. And you know who built, who rebuilt the masjid? Who rebuilt the masjid? It was Cyrus the Great. Cyrus the Great, because it was destroyed. They came back. They were able to come back. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them. They were able to return to the Holy Land. And of course, after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends, sends who? Another group of people. Eventually, through time, who became the powers in the area? The Romans and the Persians. And Bani Israel, they never had another superpower. They never established a powerful state again since the time of Prophet Sulaiman. They never had a powerful state. They never had a powerful state again. So if they never really established, and then Allah says, ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَا لَكُمُ الْكَرَّةَ عَلَيْهِمْ ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَا لَكُمُ الْكَرَّةَ عَلَيْهِمْ وَأَمْدَدْنَاكُمْ بِأَمْوَالِ وَبَنِينَ وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ أَكْثَرَ نَفِيرًا. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and then we return to you, to them, to it one more time. To what? The state. But who? Which state is this now? Who's in control? Some of the scholars have mentioned it is the Muslims. When the Muslims returned, when the Muslims entered Jerusalem, it was during what time? What khilafah? Khilafah Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. During the time of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, and during the time of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, who did they defeat?
Who did the Muslims defeat? Two great superpowers. The Persians and the Romans. And thus we returned to the Muslims, to the believers in Allah, those who uphold Tawheed. We returned Jerusalem back to you, O Muslims, one more time. وَأَمْدَدْنَاكُمْ بِأَمْوَالِ وَبَنِينَ وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ أَكْثَرَ نَفِيرًا. And we gave you abundance of wealth and children, and we made you in abundance also. So who controlled Bayt al-Maqdis and the whole area for centuries? Who? The Muslims, the worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The worshippers of Allah. And when corruption occurs, what happens? Allah sends a people to kill, to destroy, to wake you up. Like, hey, you guys have left your deen. Wake up, come back to Allah. And so that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends who? To remind the Muslims. Not the Christians. Well, the Christians came also with the Crusades, but who else also? The Mongols. The Mongols came and destroyed everything. They destroyed everything. Why? Because the Muslims left the deen. You leave the deen, this is what's going to happen. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings back and gives leaders who are just. If you're just, then Allah will give you, you will benefit from the fruits of justice. But if you're oppressive, you transgress the limits of Allah, then again, Allah will send someone who will destroy you. Not necessarily Muslims or non-Muslims. No, and any servants of Allah, they will destroy you if you're not obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, this is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so when he says, وَأَمْدَدْنَاكُمْ بِأَمْوَالِ وَبَنِينَ وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ أَكْثَرَ نَفِيرًا, have the Jews ever been a majority? No. Ever since that time. Have they ever been a superpower? No. Have they ever been able to establish themselves again? No. When were they able to establish themselves? The state of Israel, as they call it. With the help of? The United Nations. The United Nations, yeah, but who was it? Balfour Agreement, right? It was the British. And Allah even mentions their characteristics. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will, remember, they're scattered all over, everywhere. They don't have a place. They don't have a place. They don't have a land. And then they come back with the Balfour Agreement. And the Balfour Agreement. إِلَّا بِحَبْلٍ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَحَبْلٍ مِنَ النَّاسِ. Except with the help of Allah, the decree of Allah, and they always need the help of others, the support of others. Allah says, Allah mentions that you guys are always going to be prepared, but you're going to be using others to help you. Even during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know the battle of the trench. You know what that battle was? It wasn't the Arabs against the Muslims. No, it was the Yuhud, the Banu Nadir, and Banu Qurayza. They were the ones who incited all the Arabs to, because they need others to fight their wars, because they are cowards. Cowards. They're cowards. إِلَّا بِحَبْلٍ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَحَبْلٍ مِنَ النَّاسِ وَبَاءُوا بِغَضَبٍ مِنَ اللَّهِ. They indeed earned the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of their actions of killing the prophets of Allah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, remember, he says, وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ أَكْثَرَ نَفِيرًا. So who's Allah speaking to here? Actually, the Muslims, because the Muslims were given power, authority, and they defeated the Romans and the Persians by the help of Allah. By the help of Allah alone. وَمَنْ نَصْرُ إِلَّا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. There's no victory except from Allah alone. There's no victory except for Allah. Allah gave the Muslims victory. Umar al-Khattab went to Jerusalem And you know what the governor of Jerusalem, the head person in charge, you know what he said? He says, we're not going to give you the keys of Jerusalem. We're only going to give it to a person that's mentioned in our books, and his characteristics we know. We know his characteristics, what kind of person he is. When does Allah give Jerusalem? To who? To someone, if you establish justice. If you establish justice, you establish the rule of Allah. When you establish justice and the rule of Allah, and it was during which Khilafah? So they said, no, we're not going to give the keys to anyone, because in our books we have his characteristics. We have his attributes. And who filled that attribute more than anyone else when we speak about justice? Who? Who do we think of? Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. Allah gave the Muslim Jerusalem because we upheld the deen of Allah and upheld justice. Justice. Helping the poor, helping the needy. Always just. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the worshippers of Allah. And Allah gave the Muslims an abundance of blessings from their victories over the disbelievers. And of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showered the Muslims with an abundance of wealth. An abundance of wealth. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, لَا الْفَقْرَ أَخْشَ عَلَيْكُمْ. It is not poverty that I fear for you. No, no. What I fear for you is the dunya will be opened up for you and you will compete for it just like the others competed for it, and it will destroy you just like it destroyed them. And so when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the Muslims all the wealth, and Allah gave them the, you know, children, and Allah, وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ أَكْثَرَ نَفِيرًا. And we made you more numerous in manpower. Allah gave the Muslims Bayt al-Maqdis. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave those who believe in Allah. And so those who don't uphold, Allah will take it away from them. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in ahsantum, ahsantum li anfusikum. If you do good, then you've done no good except for yourselves. You've only benefited yourselves. In ahsantum. In other words, if you have a good ruler like Umar ibn Abdulaziz, you have good rulers, you apply justice, you apply the rule of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you do good, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also help you, will be there for you and provide and bless you also. Because it's a line of blessing. Allah will bless you. وَإِنْ أَسَأْتُمْ فَلَهَا. But if you do otherwise, you commit atrocities, oppression, transgressions, then you will face the consequences of it also. And then Allah says, فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعْدُ الْآخِرَةِ. But then when the end, akhirah means the end, so that means this is the end time. Remember, wa'd al-akhirah. So wa'd al-ulahuma, what's the first time? The first time was when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed them during the time of, you know, after their differences, right? And then they were enslaved again. But there will come another time when you what? What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says? لَتُفْسِدُنَّ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَّتَيْنِ. You will cause extreme mischief, transgression, oppression, and like the worst type of transgressions, the worst atrocities. Like, you guys are going to do it twice. It's already been written. So when is the second time? Allah says, so who's he speaking to? Allah knows best. It seems that this is Allah speaking to us. فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعْدُ الْآخِرَةِ. But then when that second promise comes about, when Banu Israel, when the Yahud, Banu Israel, when they are corrupted a second time, when they commit corruption and oppression and transgression again,
لِيَسُوءُ وُجُوهَكُمْ. It will sadden your faces. Who's your faces?
Us.
The Muslims. They will commit atrocities. They will bring tears to your eyes and your faces. And the world is seeing it with their very own eyes the last 70 years or so. They can do anything that they want. Uluwan kabira. Ulu. Extreme arrogance, haughtiness. Uluwan kabira. Extreme arrogance and haughtiness. UN resolutions? That's for you guys. That's for the regular people. That's for you guys. For us, the law doesn't apply to us. We can do whatever we want. And nobody would say anything. Nobody would do anything. Because we got backing also. إِلَّا بِحَبْلٍ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَحَبْلٍ مِنَ النَّاسِ. Except for they always have the support. And the decree of Allah, yes, only it's because of Allah also. Allah has decreed it. And only by the will of Allah are things happening. And also by the help of the people, that's all. The support. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِيَسُوءُ وُجُوهُكُمْ وَلِيَدْخُلُوا الْمَسْجِدَ كَمَا دَخَلُوهُ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ. And they will again enter the masjid, just like they did the first time. They did the first time. وَلِيُتَبِّرُوا مَا عَلَوْا تَدْبِيرًا. And they are going to destroy with a total destruction. With a total destruction. Okay? Okay. Yes, we know what's going to happen and what's happening right now. But what do we do? What's the solution? Allah says, عَسَى رَبُّكُمْ أَن يَرْحَمَكُمْ. عَسَى رَبُّكُمْ أَن يَرْحَمَكُمْ. And عَسَى here, that means Allah will. Asa, when it comes to Asa, means it may be that. When Allah says it may be that, that means Allah will help you, right? Asa rabbukum ayyarhamukum. In hopes that maybe your Lord will have mercy upon you. Which means that Allah will have mercy upon us if what? Wa in uddum udna. Like Allah will have mercy upon us and will send mercy upon you. But if you return wa in uddum udna. If you return back to disobeying Allah, then the oppression will continue. But also, this is also glad tidings. Allah didn't say that if you return to transgression. No, He says, if you return, we will return. Which means what? If you return to obedience of Allah, we will give you victory also. So it is glad tidings for the Muslims that if we return to Allah, Allah will give us victory. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us victory. But if we also disobey Allah, then the destruction will again happen. And that's the sunnah of Allah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجَعَلْنَا جَهَنَّمَ لِلْكَافِرِينَ حَصِيرًا. And surely we made Jahannam. So if you're thinking about, you know, don't worry. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in control over all things. The transgressors, the oppressors, those who are harming the Muslims, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, you know what they say? Yeah? What are the disbelievers saying? And what are they posting online? Give them hell. Give them hell. You guys heard that recently? What did they say about the Muslims? When the Israeli bombs and missiles are being fired into Gaza, what are some people saying? Give them hell. Right? Did you guys hear that? I don't know if who said it, who posted that. But they're fully supportive of that. That's what they're saying. Ya Allah. Ya Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's like when you read the Quran, the solution to everything, if you continue to read, if you read it on a
on a weekly basis, you have the solution to your problems on a weekly basis. If you read it on a monthly basis, you have the solution to your problems on a monthly basis. If you read it on a yearly basis, you have the solution. Every maybe once a year, your solution, you have the your problems will be taken care of. And that's why we read all the time, because the solution is there. And Allah, and they say, give them hell. And you know what Allah says? وَجْعَلْنَا جَهَنَّمَ لِلْكَافِرِينَ حَصِيرًا. You know what hasir is? Hasira here? Ya Allah, Ya Allah. Allah says, and we made Jahannam for the disbelievers, hasira, a prison. You put the people of Gaza in open air prison, your prison. You know what your prison's going to be? Jahannam. Jahannam. Your prison. Give them hell. The hell with that, as they say. Excuse my French. I don't like French people, but good. But the Muslim, the French people that are Muslims, I love them, of course. But France is not a country that I like, that I really like. But give them hell. Give them prison. وَجَعَلْنَا جَهَنَّمَ لِلْكَافِرِينَ حَصِيرًا. Give them hell. We have made the hellfire for the disbelievers as a prison, a bed, prison bed that you're going to lie in for the rest of eternity. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect the Muslims. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us strength and patience and strengthen and rectify our conditions. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Any questions? I think it's already the Adhan time, so inshallah we'll make the Adhan. But you read the Quran, it's like, ya Allah, Allah speaking to us right now. It seems like it's so we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, to rectify our conditions and to help us return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and give us return al-Aqsa back to the believers and the upholders of the truth, those who uphold justice, the Muslims, and those who surrender to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Subhanallah.